Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 1 through 13. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We just ask you for your presence, and just come and speak to us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, famous passage in Matthew, the transfiguration of Jesus. What is interesting that I find from this passage is right off the bat, it says, and 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother. 6 days after what? 6 days after Jesus calls Peter Satan. 6 days after Jesus rebukes him hardcore and says, get behind me, Satan. Then he takes them to this awesome, probably the most glorious experience that, you know, a human being could experience, you know, in the presence of God. And interesting. I think, you know, I would feel like I don't measure up. You know, I don't deserve an experience like this. 6 days after, you know, if Jesus called me Satan, I would probably be really depressed and down for a long time until, you know, I don't know, and I'll make excuses. I don't know, I don't deserve it, Lord. I can't be in your presence, blah, blah, blah. But I think we need to understand that we don't ever measure up. You know, when we went to this men's conference with Gordon Dalby, that's one of the lies that Satan will use to men, but not just to men, right, to women as well. And to put shame in our lives, he says, you know, you don't measure up. And Gordon Dalby, interestingly, he said, you know, you don't have to fight the devil and try to come up with reasons and excuses for why you didn't measure up or reasons why you do measure up, you know, because that's what we try to do. We're like, no, but I did this. I read my Bible this morning. I came to EMP. Surely I measure up to God or the standards or whatever. But, you know, the truth is we don't measure up, right? Whether you are, whether you've been good for a week, a month, you know, whatever the case may be, we don't ever measure up to God's glory and to his standards. But the good news is that by his grace, we know that we are accepted, you know, that he's not going to treat us like a second-class citizen because of our sin or because we messed up, you know. He accepts us. I mean, look at what he does with Peter. 6 days after He calls, he rebukes him, he brings him up to this glorious experience. So I think we just need to rest in that, you know. Instead of trying to like strive and be like, to be somebody before the Lord. I mean, that's good, right? We want to strive and be all that we can, but I don't think we should ever strive to be accepted before the Lord. But just know that, you know what, just as we are, we're accepted by the grace of God. You know, we have all of God's love right now, like at this moment, this morning, right now, God loves us with everlasting love because of his grace. You know, that we can't do anything to make him love us more or to make him love us less. That right now he loves us fully. That there's nothing, you know, remember, think back to the time where you just felt the love of God. You know, you go to a retreat and you have that experience on the last night of the retreat and you feel the amazing love of God and it just comes over you. We call it the liquid love of God. And you experience, oh, God loves me. Because hopefully we've all had that kind of an experience where we feel the touch of the Lord. And remember that right now, at this very moment, God loves us the same way. We might not feel it the same way, but he loves us with that kind of love all the time, you know, by his grace. So that's number one. 6 days after Peter gets rebuked, he has this experience. Jesus gets transfigured, and, you know, Peter says, you know, it is good for us to stay here. You know, if you want, we'll make 3 tabernacles. But that's not, I mean, Jesus doesn't even respond to that. And then he says, I just want to look at, oh yeah, verse 7 and 8. It says, Jesus came to them. So they're very afraid. They hear this voice of God. They're afraid. They're on their faces, on the ground. And Jesus comes to them and says, arise and do not be afraid. And so they look up, and it says in verse 8, lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. So it's cool because one moment, like they're in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they're in this glorious experience. Elijah, Moses, and Jesus is transfigured. He's glowing. And then the very next moment, you know, like in one moment, it's awesome glory. And then Jesus says, don't be afraid. They look up and bam, everything is gone, right? And they see Jesus alone. And I think in my mind, what I would have done is, I don't think it really happened. You know, we kind of rationalize it away. We're like, really? That's crazy. I don't think it really happened. You know, because, I mean, one moment it's stuff, and then you look up and everything is gone, like in that second. I think we tend to we have a great like spiritual experience. You know, you hear about this, right? People get healed, or God moves in a mighty way, God touches them, and they're like, oh, God is real. And then the next moment they're like, you know what? I think I made that up. I think I was very emotional. I don't know if that was really God. You know, we come up with all these excuses. And that's the Christian life, I think. Like one moment we'll like experience God in a powerful way, but the next moment we don't have that kind of an experience. And we need to live by faith, you know. We don't always have God like coming down and revealing himself in this kind of a way. And because... Now, Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's a walk of faith. You know, it's a walking out of faith. There's the experience and meeting with God that assures us that he's real. But most of, you know, our day-to-day life, it's lived out by faith, knowing that God is real, that he is with us. And it's a choice that we make to live by the word of God, right? Not by what we see or what the circumstance may be. And lastly, I guess we just came back from the retreat, right? And for me, the retreat was amazing. I don't know how it was for you. But I love this guy, Dan Sneed. You know, I've always loved him since I heard him in 2003. So I loved spending time with him and just listening to him speak. And I feel like God's done something in my heart, you know, to... you know, the whole foundational lies thing, breaking down spiritual strongholds and really putting some truth into my heart about who I am. But just like this story, I mean, the retreat is like the mountaintop experience for many of us. You know, we go and God's presence is there. Our brothers and sisters are praying for one another, and it's an awesome time. But it's after we come back down from the mountain, back to Hong Kong. This is where we need to live it out. And this is where I believe the enemy is going to come and attack. He's going to bring back the same old lies. He's going to bring back the same tactics and strategy to bring us down and to keep us discouraged and not be able to live in victory and all that stuff. So let us walk by faith. You know, let us not lose what God has done in our lives at the retreat. And you know, Dan even said, right? It's a lifelong process. How do you break the foundational lie, the spiritual stronghold? You identify the lie, confront the lie with the truth, which is the Word of God, replace it with the truth, which is, I guess, really reading it and memorizing the Word. But the last one was guard it, right? Guard the truth or something like that. And it says it's a lifelong process. And so we can't give up. You know, we got to keep running. And, you know, here Jesus hears it in verse 5, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." But, you know, even Jesus, after he comes down from the mountain, I mean, he has the Holy Spirit in him, right? So that's continuously reminding him of who he is. But this kind of experience, it's just not written in the Bible, right? So from what's written in the Bible, he has that only two times. Once when he gets baptized, Father God comes and says, "This is my beloved Son." And then in this time, he has this amazing experience. And I hope many of us at the retreat had that kind of an experience where we've, you know, had the Father, the hand of the Father upon our heads and just saying, "You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased." And if you haven't had that, we need to seek after it, you know, and because we need to hear that from our Father, Heavenly Father. But after Jesus comes down from the mountain, he really has to walk through a lot of suffering, a lot of difficulty, a lot of obedience, but he knows who he is. And so same for us. You know, we've learned who we are at the retreat, and now we need to walk it out. You know, no matter what we're going to face, you know, whether it be pruning, or just difficulty, attacks from the enemy, or just obedience, surrendering, all that stuff, we need to remember who we are and guard what Jesus did in our hearts at the retreat. So we're just going to pray and encourage you guys just to close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to remind you or remind us of what he has done at the retreat. And also to remember, just as Jesus took Peter up the mountain, that we don't ever measure up, but it's by his grace we know that we are fully loved until the end. So let's pray together. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe. Come breathe in me. I will rise on the eagle. Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my home. May I know Jesus more and more. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. Take over. Come breathe in me and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come live in me all my life. I will rise on eagle's wings. Let's pray together for our church as we came back from the retreat. For me, in my experience, right when we come back from the retreat is when the enemy really just kind of attacks to basically nullify, what we did at the retreat, what happened at the retreat. So let's just pray for protection and just that we will be able to guard, what God has done in our hearts, and that Holy Spirit would just strengthen us. So let's just pray for our church. That all of us will be able to guard what God has done at the retreat, and that it won't be nullified by the attacks and whatnot. So just pray for our church together. Let's pray for our Indonesian ministry, Feibe Church. They have their anniversary service this Sunday. So it'll just be a real time of celebration and thanking the Lord for what God has done with this ministry. So if we could just cover the service that's coming up on Sunday, that it'll just be that God's presence would really be there, that God will be with Pastor Salamat as he leads the service and the different activities that's going to happen in the service. Let's just pray a blessing over them for their anniversary service this Sunday. Let's pray for the churches in Hong Kong and the different ministries in Hong Kong. You know, let's pray for YWAM and Shanti Ministry, Masters Beauty, and just the YWAM base, and also Sports Services International. Let's pray for Face to Face with Jimmy Stewart, Bonnie and Janice are involved in that. And let's just pray for all the other churches in Hong Kong, international and Cantonese, local churches, you know, just that God will strengthen them, and that the churches in Hong Kong will be able to really be strengthened and join God in what He is doing in this city. So let's just pray for the different ministries and churches in Hong Kong together. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today on Wednesday. Let's pray that it'll be an anointed time, a fruitful time, a meaningful time of discussing the retreat and recapping, and just that all the leaders will be able to lead the discussion well, and just the presence of God would really be there. So let's pray for all our house churches meeting today. Lastly, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our church building that we are praying for. There are some things that's happening and a possibility that we're really praying about. So if you could just join us in prayer for that, that God will open the door for us, maybe by the end of the year or by early next year. So let's pray, because we're praying for an interim solution until we can build our church. So just for the interim solution, that God will open the door for us, and they will be able to find some way to grow in this time. So let's pray for the building search. Let's pray that God will open up that door for us. Father God, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that even when we don't measure up, God, that you love us with your grace. And Father, that that you accept us, God. And not only do you accept us, but you take us to amazing experiences with you. So I thank you for that, and I thank you just for the retreat and how you have spoken to us. And I pray that you really guard our church in this week, Lord, when the enemy comes to attack. We thank you that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and that we have victory, and just infinite more power and strength in you than what the enemy does. So we're not going to walk in fear or intimidation, God. But Lord, I pray that we would be able to walk in victory and guard just the truth that you have spoken to us at the retreat. And watch over us today. I just ask you for your blessing for each and every one of us here, that you will bless them and keep them, that there will be favor upon them, God, with the people that they meet, and that we will be able to glorify you and really share your love today in some way. So be with us. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.